Good morning, everyone. I'm having fun this morning. How about you? And I can, this is probably the first time I've ever been able to sit down to preach. It makes me think of the old time rabbis, makes me think of Jesus. Whenever they preached, they would sit down. And that's what I get to do today. In the spirit of the fun that we're having today, I want to play a little game with you. It's a very simple game. It's called Fill in the Blank. I'll get a sentence started, and I want you to fill in the blank, and we'll take it from there. Are you ready? Simple game of fill in the blank, and here's our sentence. God is... No, 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 no. You're not supposed to say it out loud. Keep it to yourself. God is... And we want lots of different words, okay? So God is... All right, I need a volunteer to tell me the word they picked out. Malene, is your hand up? What's your word? God is love. Okay, I need another word. Back here, Valerie.
My friend.
I like that. My friend, good. Yes. Yes. God is love. Okay, we're looking for different words. Marilyn. Kind. Yes, good. Wendy. All knowing. Good, good, good words. Okay, some more. Nick.
He's amazing.
God is amazing. Bob, was your hand up? God is good. Over here, Daniel. Omnipotent. That's a big word. Can you tell us what it means?
All powerful.
George. Oh, I'm so glad for that. Yes. Did you forget already? Vicky? God is your father. A couple more. Yes, Carol. God is wonderful. Yes, back here. God is patient. Dana? Oh, that was your word, huh? Jill? God is fair. God is all these things. He's kind and wonderful and all-powerful. He knows everything. And really, the one that gathers it all together and ties it all together is the fact that God is, as you all said earlier, God is love. The reason why he is all these different things is because God is love. Now, there's no way you can take a love like that and lock it up in a box and shove it under your bed where you'll never see it again. Can't be done. Because as it says in the passage that Dane and Brody read for us a little earlier, God's love is always shown. So if you got your Bibles handy, please open them again. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. And it is here in this passage that we can see three different ways that God's love is shown. Three different ways that God's love is shown. And the first of these is the way God shows his love through the way Jesus came to this world to live with us. It says here in verse 9, he sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. And there's a big, big theological word that we use to describe that. The word is incarnation. Now, I'm wondering, are there any kids here who know what that big word incarnation means? Anybody can tell me? Maybe one of the bigger kids will need to tell us. What does the word incarnation mean? Any volunteers? Over here? Okay, so God made flesh. Any other definitions for the word incarnation? Okay, so incarnation would be the story of how God became a human baby. The incarnation is the story how God left his beautiful home in heaven and came to this dumpy little world. Now, to help you understand a little bit of what we're talking about here, I want to take you on a trip. I want to take you on a trip to the other side of the world, to a big city called Manila. Manila is the capital city of the Philippines, and there are a lot of special places to go when you visit Manila, but there's one place that's not like any other. It's the dump. The dump in Manila is big. There are tens of thousands of people who live in the middle of this great big dump, and they spend their whole lives there. They take all that trash and they build houses for themselves. They send their kids out first thing in the morning to paw through the dumpsters and get their breakfast. They spend their whole life living in this dump. But there are some other special people who live in this dump. These are people who left their big, beautiful homes in America to move to Manila, into the middle of the dump, to be with these people and share with them the love of Jesus. I'll tell you, when I think of people leaving their big, beautiful homes in America to live in a dump in the middle of Manila, it boggles my mind. But when I stop to think how Jesus left his home in heaven and he came to this world to live in a dumpy place like this with us, well, that really, really boggles my mind. So the first thing we can see in this passage is that God shows his love to us in the way Jesus came to this world. The second thing that I can see is that God's love is shown in the way Jesus died for us on the cross. In verse 10, it says, he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, which leads us to another big theological word. And the word is atonement. Can anybody tell me what that word atonement means? Especially the kids. Do you know what does the word atonement mean? Payment. Okay, good definition. Any other ways to flesh this out? What does the word atonement mean, Debbie? I really like that one. At one mint with God. Good. Any other definitions of atonement? So the idea here is that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. He took on himself what we deserve so that we could take on ourselves what he deserves. There's a story told about a boy named Andy. Andy was a little tiny guy with a great big problem because, you see, every day Andy would come home from school and he'd get home late. His mom and dad talked to him about that. They said, Andy, we need you to come straight home from school. We don't want you to lollygag along. We want you to come straight home from school. But Andy was oblivious to what his mom and dad wanted. He just wanted to do his own thing. So one night he got home. And his mom met him at the door, and she ushered him to the dinner table. And there at his place there at the table was a great big plate. And on this great big plate, there was one slice of bread. And next to his great big plate with one slice of bread was a tall glass of water. That was his supper. He couldn't believe it. One slice of bread and one glass of water for supper. And then he looked over at what was on his dad's plate. You know what was on his dad's plate? A steaming hot roast that smelled so good. And scalloped potatoes. And a green salad with tomato wedges and avocado wedges. And a great big slice of peach pie. That was dad's supper. And he looked at his supper. And he looked at his dad's supper, and he realized they were trying to say something to him. And the tears just rolled down his cheeks. His heart was broken. And at just the right moment, the most amazing thing happened. Dad took his great big plate with beautiful food, and he slid it over in front of Andy, and he took Andy's dinner of bread and water, and that became his dinner. And you know what happened? In that moment, Andy knew what God's love is like. He knew that Jesus had taken the punishment that he deserved so that he could enjoy all the good things Jesus deserves. That's what the atonement is all about. There's a third way that God shows his love for us, and that is by displaying his love through the lives of people like you and me. In verse 11, it says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." The idea here is that since we are Christians and since God is living inside of us, we're naturally going to want to share his love with others. There's a story I really like about this. It's about a girl by the name of Debbie and her friend David. You see, when Debbie was a little girl, the thing she really liked most was her long, dark hair. She would wash it, and she would comb it, and her mommy would braid it, or sometimes it was in pigtails, but Debbie loved her long black hair. And then one day, as mommy was shampooing her hair, clumps of hair began to fall out. And this kept going on day after day, and they didn't know what was going on, so mom and dad took Debbie to the doctor's office, and they did some examinations, and nobody could figure out what was going on with Debbie's hair. They tried all kinds of treatment, all kinds of weird things they looked up on the internet, and her hair just kept falling out. And by the time Debbie was 13 years old, she was totally bald. And so her mom and dad went out and bought her a wig to wear. And she wore that wig to school, and the kids just teased her day after day. It was hard. Well, every week, Debbie would go to her church, and she'd hang out with the kids in her youth room. And there was one kid in her room. His name was David. I mean, he was so tall and good-looking and so nice, and she developed a crush on him. I thought, wouldn't it be neat if David and I could get together? Well, the next Sunday night, the church youth group rented the whole roller skating rink. They all went roller skating. They were out there having a great time. There was David and there was Debbie and all their friends. And the DJ came on to announce it was time for a game of Whoopee. Everybody was going to play Whoopee. And the way the game would be played is everyone would get into groups of three, and they would skate together. And when the DJ called out, Whoopee, they would all turn around and skate the other way. So David and Debbie and their friend Kimmy became a threesome, with David skating in the middle. And Debbie loved it because she's skating around holding hands with David, and they're skating along, and the DJ called out, Whoopee, and they all swung around and started going the other way. And they were skating along, having a great time, and the DJ called out, Whoopee, and they switched around and went the other way. And the third time the DJ called, Whoopee, something happened. There was this kid who was flying out of control. He just sprawled all over the place, and he crashed right into Debbie, and her wig went flying across the floor. Suddenly, the whole place was quiet. Everybody in the roller skating rink was staring at Debbie and her bald head. Finally, one of her friends went along and picked it up, and they plunked it on Debbie's head, but they got it on her backwards. She was utterly humiliated. As quick as she could get up, she skated into the girls' bathroom, and she was leaning up against the stall. She got her cell phone out, and she called her dad. She says, Daddy, you got to come get me. I've never been so humiliated in my life. Daddy, come get me. And her dad said, No, Debbie, I'm not coming after you. I want you to pull it together and skate the night away. Debbie fell down on the floor there in the middle of the girls' bathroom, crying, when all of a sudden, David came roller skating into the middle of the girls' bathroom. And he grabbed Debbie by the hand and he said, Come on, let's go skating. In a very special way, that day, David showed Debbie God's love, don't you think? And that's something you can do. That is something you can do because God loves you so much. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus into this world just for you. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross just for you. God loves you so much that he gave you moms and dads, brothers and sisters, teachers, church family, friends, to help take care of you. And when you've got a God who loves you that much, you know what? It's easy to love him in return, isn't it? And what's more, it's easy to love the people around you. May God bless you as you learn to live his love.
Shall we bow our heads for the benediction? Our kind, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have such parents that are so interested in their children that they want you to love them and want you to know them from childhood up. Be with these children. Help them to learn the things that they need to know that will go with them all through their lives. Be with us today. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. Help us to be kind and gentle and interested in one another. Thank you for loving us, and be with us all week. In Jesus' name, amen.